Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Restoration Nazarene Church, where we encourage you to be the gospel today so that you can share the gospel tomorrow.
We have been on this journey together through the book of James, and our goal has been to find out what it means to live like Christians, what it means to have faith and works together. And if we really think about it, the way that we live depends on how we view the world, or rather what we think the purpose of living is. Because whatever our purpose or our goal is, that purpose or that goal will then determine the way that we live and the direction we go to achieve that goal. And so for those of you that haven't been with us the full time so far, we've learned from James that it all begins with God. God who created everything, created us for a purpose. And God has given us all a free gift, the gift of his grace, his salvation. And as we receive that from God, through our own faith and our belief, we begin to change the way that we are thinking and the way that we are seeing the world, which means that we receive the wisdom of God, and then we begin to use that wisdom of God. And so then once we do that, we are then compelled to live a certain way. We're not forced, but we have this new desire, this new desire to live like Jesus. And when this first happens to someone, when someone first accepts this gift from God, they believe in Jesus and they let the Holy Spirit come in and fill them, it completely changes their life. They get this new energy, this new desire and passion for more, learning more about Jesus and living more like him. And it's exciting for that individual, but it's also exciting for everybody else that is around that individual. But over time, if that person isn't careful, then that energy, that excitement that they once had, it can begin to fade. Last week, we talked about Peter and how Peter, the disciple of Jesus, how he walked on water and how he, at first, he was full of faith and belief in Jesus. He was full of excitement and he stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But then as he was walking down this path towards Jesus, fear and worry and doubt crept in as he saw just how big and scary the waves were around him. And this is similar for us as we are on our journey with Christ. We go through seasons where we are on the boat like all of the disciples, where God is calling out to us, but we just aren't quite sure what to do yet. And sometimes we are in seasons where we step out in faith. We have no fear, just running after Jesus. And then we go through seasons in life where life's worries and busyness, they get to us. They distract us, like as Peter was then distracted by the worries of the waves. They take our focus off of Christ. And Peter says that we become double-minded instead of having our full focus on Jesus. And if I can be completely honest this morning, I've been in this last season for a few weeks now. I think all of the chaos that we went through as a family this summer, it kept me really close to Christ. Like I was clenching on to him for the strength and the endurance that I needed to push through. But the last few weeks, I've let the busyness of life pull my focus away from Jesus, where I have now slipped into this double-minded. I've been focusing on Jesus, but yet life has just become busy. And part of this has been my own health, which just makes me want to sleep all the time instead of actually spending time in prayer with Jesus. Part of this has been the day job, where I spend most of my energy trying to help these high school students fall in love with Jesus while also teaching them math, which is nearly impossible to do. And part of it has just been the unknown of not knowing what the future is going to hold. And I'm the type of person that I don't always do well when I don't know what the end goal is, where my focus should be. And so all of this together has been pulling my focus away from Christ, where some days I just feel distant. I know that God hasn't gone anywhere, but I can just feel this distance that I've created. Have you ever been in those places before? Those times in your life where you want to get closer to Christ, but it just feels so difficult to close that gap. Times in your life where you're just so tired that it can be hard to find the energy to keep pushing on, or where you want to spend time with Christ, but then sometimes it just feels like work, and you don't want to work anymore. And so this has caused me to question or wonder why this happens. What causes these seasons in our life? And then how do we fix it? What is the solution to this? And the common answer or common response that most people will give is that you just need to pray more, or you just need to read scripture more, or you just need to focus more on Christ. But my question is, why does that seem to be the go-to answer? And does that actually solve the problem that we have? That is what I've been thinking about. And then as I began reading and praying over our passage for today, it began to convict me, or at least open my eyes to see the answer. And the answer, as we're going to read, it's not easily seen, at least not right of way. So just follow me this morning. We're in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. James writes, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." The answer to our question is here in these verses. But to get to that answer, we really have to grasp and understand what James is teaching us. James says that there are religious people out there, that their religion is just worthless. And we can read this and immediately think about all the other religions around the world that are just worthless. All the other religions that are not true. But remember that James is writing to Christians, and he is including Christians in this list of people that might consider themselves to be righteous. And the word that James uses here for religious is not even talking about a religion. It's not talking about a belief system. The word that James uses here for religion in the original language is an action word. It's talking about doing something, meaning that he is talking about our religious practices, the things that we do for religious purposes. And so he is saying here that some people who do religious things, but they are actually deceiving themselves by what they do, because those religious things are just worthless. But it's not just that the actions themselves are worthless. Because if we look at what James is writing, notice that he gives us three different things that he's talking about. First is their thoughts, these people that think of themselves as religious. The second is their speech. He says those that cannot control their own speech. And then third is their actions, the things that they do. Meaning that it doesn't really matter if we think highly of ourselves. It doesn't matter if we tell everyone else that we are religious. Because what really matters is what is within the heart and what our actions say. Like that old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. But what really bothers me here is that James calls this worthless. And as I was working through this passage this week, I kept processing what that would even look like. How could you have a worthless practice? Somebody that would do something religious, how could that then be worthless? And so then I had this silly thought come to my mind where just imagine for a moment that two people, they're sitting in lawn chairs and they're in the basement of a house in these lawn chairs. And off on the side, there is a sink with a faucet and the faucet is turned on and the water is running down and it has now filled up the sink and now it is spilling over onto the ground and now it's starting to flood the basement. So now the water is around their ankles. And so these two people, they say to each other. This water is an issue. Somebody should really turn off that faucet. But yet they refuse to get up and turn off that faucet. Like those people that talk about problems, but they never actually do anything to fix the problems. They just like to talk about those problems. This is how I was thinking about what James was saying here. I was thinking about people that they like to talk a big game. They like to tell everybody that they follow Jesus, but yet they don't live like Christ at all in their life. But then as I was processing and praying through this, I realized that James is saying more than this. He isn't just talking about people that are wasting their time. He's actually talking about actions that are worthless. He is talking about a lifestyle that is worthless. See, I think what James is addressing here is this connection that we have with God. That there are things that we do or times along our journey where we feel close to God. But there are other times on our journey where we feel distant from Him, that our actions, the things that we do, are just worthless and they are pushing us further and further away. And it's these actions that James says bring us to a place where we are just deceiving our heart. And we may not even realize that we're doing it, but it causes us to be in this place of distance from God. And so then James tells us what to do to overcome this. Let me read verse 27 again. He says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." James is defining for us what true religion is, what a pure and faultless religion is. We could call this a genuine religion. And again, that word religion that James uses is talking about our actions or our religious practices. And again, James has already told us that controlling our speech is the beginning of it. But then he talks about this idea of looking after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, this is something very specific to their time frame and their culture. These two groups of people, orphans and widows, they were the people in the culture who had no status whatsoever. They had absolutely no money to the point where they were desperate. They were just starving. They were the outcasts in society. And so James, speaking to the Christians about their own context, their own culture, he says that they have to look after them, which also translates as visit them, meaning that we go visit them. It's not talking about looking at them from a distance. We don't just stand in our cars and look at them from a distance. We go and visit them. It is an action of going to visit them. And so James is saying that a truly religious person is somebody that personally visits the outcasts, meaning that it's not enough to just give people money. It's not enough to send somebody else in your place to go visit them. A truly religious person visits them personally so that they can see and experience their life with them. This is the first part of what James defines as pure and genuine. The second thing is that we keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. And I can't help but get this picture of pollution. Has anybody ever traveled from Phoenix to Los Angeles? And now I know there's some people in here that are from Los Angeles, so forgive me for what I am about to say. But if you've ever driven from Phoenix to Los Angeles and you're driving down the 10 and you go through all of these towns throughout Arizona, in California, imagine that you're driving in the middle of the day and you can see the wonderful blue sky. As you approach LA, what happens? You begin to physically see the pollution that is in the air. It is no longer this crystal clear blue sky that you see. Or imagine the difference between clear water and dirty water. This is what I imagine as James says that a genuine, a real, a true, a pure religious person keeps themselves from being polluted by the world around them. They keep themselves clean and pure. And the way that they do that, logically speaking, is that they would guard their hearts. They would set boundaries around them to keep them from temptation, to keep them from being influenced by people or values that are contrary to God. And so James, really, he's giving us three categories here of things that a genuine religion is like, which are controlled speech, acts of kindness or acts of charity, and then resisting temptation. But then I was asking the question, why these three categories? What is so special about these three things that James decides to touch on? And the answer is grace, which leads to holiness. As a Nazarene church, we have been influenced by a man named John Wesley, who lived 300 years ago. And this man, Wesley, he was really big on the way that we live, the way that we act in the world. He was big on what it means to live like Jesus, what it means to constantly grow more and more into the image of Christ. And one of the ways that he describes this happening is through grace, which means through holiness. See, God, he gives us grace. We read about this a few weeks ago about how we are saved because of our faith in Jesus Christ through the grace of God that he gives us. Grace is a gift that God gives us. And the more that we receive this grace, the closer to God we feel. And this is part of what holiness is all about. It is about us getting closer to God. It is about the Holy Spirit cleansing us and guiding us to become more and more like him. And it's not that we are physically closer to him. It's not that we are better than anybody else, but rather that our hearts are more aligned with God's will. And the way that we receive more of this grace, or the way that we align our hearts more with God's heart, is by participating in this grace. John Wesley describes it, he calls it the means of grace, the means by which we receive the grace of God, the ways that God provides us with his grace. Think of them as just ordinary channels, ordinary things by which God gives us his grace. We could also think of them as conduits. Imagine that I have a lamp at home that I want to give power. I want this lamp to turn on. So how do I turn this lamp on? If it's not connected to the wall for electricity, I then have to connect it to the wall. And so I have this cable that connects the lamp to the wall, which is then connected to the source of electricity. The power comes from the electricity, but it is in the act of connecting the lamp to the source that we are able to tap into or receive this energy, this power. And so Wesley, he gives us a list of actions, of things that we do, which are similar to us connecting ourselves to God, who is the source. And in this list, we find various things like prayer, scripture, receiving communion, doing works of mercy like visiting the poor or the orphans or the widows. These are just actions that we do that act as conduits to receive more God's grace in our lives. And just like our lamps need to be connected to the source in order to have this power, we then must continually be connected to God to receive more of His grace, which then leads to a holiness life. But this then also means that the opposite of that is true. When I unplug the lamp from the wall, the light turns off. And the less that we do or practice these means of grace, the less grace that we are receiving. And the less grace that we are receiving, the more disconnected we are from God. And so if we desire to grow closer to God, then the way that we do that is through these means of grace. And so this is why James can say that if our heart is not in the right place, if we do not do these actions of grace, or if we just consider ourselves worthy or good enough or religious enough, but we don't participate in what God wants us to do, then it is all worthless. And so true, genuine religion is found when we control our speech, do acts of charity, and resist temptation. And these are just highlights that James gives us. It's not a complete list. It's just what this community needed at this time. And his point is that when we do these things, then we are connected to the source of God's grace, which then leads us to a life of holiness. God gives his grace to the genuine. When we have genuine hearts, when we have a genuine religion, which again means that we put forth the effort through our actions to stay connected to God, then God will give us his grace and we will be more connected to him. And I can testify to this truth. The times where I care for people in need are the times where I have more compassion and love for people. But when I just hide in my house or I send other people to do things for me, those are the times where I find it hard to have love for people, to have compassion for people. And that's because I am not connected to the source. I am not aligning my heart with God's heart. So wherever you are on your journey this morning, if you truly desire more of Christ, if you truly have a genuine heart for God, then the actions that you must do are the means of grace. And if this morning, if you find yourself really connected to God, you feel so close to him that you are just filled with holiness and grace, then continue practicing the means of grace. Continue what you are doing so that you can stay connected to the source that is Jesus Christ. And if you find yourself distant, whether it's a small distance or it feels like a huge distance, then the answer or the next step is to practice the means of grace. And the means of grace, these actions that we do that lead to holiness, they can really be put into two categories of loving God and loving neighbor. The ways that we love God include spending time with him, through prayer, through reading scripture, spending time with his creation out in nature, spending time with other people, gathering together as we are this morning for worship, gathering together to receive communion. offering praise and thanks to God in all that we do. As James said at the beginning of chapter one, that we give joy. We begin to consider it pure joy in everything that we do because we can thank God for it all. Think of all of these things as ways that we plug ourselves into God's grace, ways that we love Him. And the ways that we love our neighbor include doing well for someone. It means spending time with people, visiting the sick, the poor, the imprisoned. It means going out of our way to show kindness to people. It means to give money to those who are in need. We plug ourselves into God's grace by loving our neighbor. And so when we practice loving God and loving neighbor, which James says begins with a genuine heart, and then we control our speech, and then we do these acts of kindness, and then we avoid the temptations of the world, when we do these things, we are then participating in the grace of God, which God will then use to give us more of His grace, which then fills us up to lead us to live a holy life. But it begins in our hearts. We must desire Him. We must be willing to follow Him. We must have a genuine heart. God gives His grace to the genuine. So will you be a genuine heart this morning? Will you receive His grace? Will you leave this place today and look for opportunities to plug into God's grace by loving Him more and loving your neighbor more? Will you this week control your speech, do acts of kindness, and avoid the temptation of the world so that you can experience a pure and genuine life of holiness with God Almighty? Let's pray. Father, this morning, we ask for your grace. We ask for the strength to change our mindset, to change our heart to align with yours. Father, we believe that you have saved us by your grace. We believe that you freely give us this grace. And so this morning we commit to participating in your grace so that we can grow more into your image for the sole purpose of reflecting your image back to the world around us. God, I pray that you would give peace to those that are dealing with anxiety or doubt or fear. I pray that you would give comfort to those who need comfort. God, I pray for the war going on in the Middle East, that you would be with those people, that you would care for them. God, we desire to receive more of your grace so that we can be more connected to you. Father, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And we pray this in your wonderful and mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We would love to continue the conversation and connect with you. Comment, like, subscribe, follow us on the socials at RNAS Church or our website, rnaz.church.